Continuing on slide two, the thought from the last slide, the easy thing to do is to give up that mindset and continue to pursue changing one's mind in the face of obstacles, rather than holding on with adamance to the mindset that the author would consider proper. And so temptation in that case would try and help the pursuing character to pursue a different mindset, to gather information necessary to change his mind and to change it. When we mix these characters together, we end up with a much more interesting story just by switching those two aspects of guardian and antagonist. And this leads to much more interest and much more variety in the story structuring and storytelling process.
When you have these two characters, with each of the two characteristics mixed, it first of all makes it difficult to tell which one is actually good and which one is actually bad, in terms of are they helping the protagonist achieve what should be achieved or not. These characters are frequently seen in negative stories. When you have a protagonist that is pursuing an improper goal, or if you have a protagonist that is avoiding the problem altogether. If you have a character who is avoiding the problem, then it's very easy for him to fall in with temptation and help. He sees temptation as a very helpful character, and temptation is more than happy to help him down the wrong avenue. Whereas conscience appears to be the hinderer, because the protagonist is trying to avoid the problem, and the conscience is not allowing him to avoid it. That is the very fundamental nature of a negative story.
Along the same lines, we can take the protagonist himself, and we can swap some characteristics. If we look at the protagonist in relationship with the skeptic, we could have them swap whether they're pursuing or avoiding, and we could still have the protagonist as non-consideration and still have the skeptic as disbelief. If we have that combination there, then the protagonist would be trying not to go to a problem. He would be trying not to find a solution. He would be running away from a solution actively all the way through the story.
As in Jaws.
He's running away from his own internal mental problem.
The fear of water.
And interestingly enough, you seldom see a story where the protagonist is the avoiding character and it's looked on favorably by the author's morality. It seems that running away from the problem is not a position that an author would usually condone. In that case, in running away from it, conscience would be hindering the avoidance, because he would want to make sure that the primary that the protagonist faces up or fesses up to the nature of the problem and deals with it. However, there's nothing wrong with writing a story where avoiding is the proper thing to do. Essentially, one might be saying that in certain natures of problems somewhere, the most important thing to do is let it go unresolved. And if that is the author's attitude, then in that case, conscience could help the character avoid dealing with the problem. And that indeed might make an even more interesting story. Once you begin to see how these characteristics can be mixed and matched in any way, within the rules of the structure, then you can begin to see unusual combinations that are not frequently used that immediately open up new horizons in storytelling and make for much more variety in terms of the type of material you will end up with.
Another aspect of these is that, in terms of mixing and matching, not only can you split them apart so that you've got individual characters representing individual characteristics, or having characters combining two of the characteristics, you can actually have characters easily combining upwards of four without any trouble at all. Problem is, when you get it more than that, is then you have to begin combining, no, up to, I guess, up to eight. Yeah, you could get up to a character having up to eight characteristics without any problems. If you combine more than that, then effectively you have a character who represents one side and its opposite. That makes it's not impossible, but it is a very difficult thing to do because it's tough to delineate when they are representing one attitude or approach and when they are representing another attitude and approach. That's merely a difficulty in the storytelling, but you can do that theoretically, and actually all of them are in everybody, and that's the whole point. This is the representative of one person's mind, that they go through all of these different steps every single time they are considering or not considering a problem. By externalizing them, by breaking them out into individual characters, that way it's a lot easier to distinguish what each of the individual pieces are, how they, what their merits are, what their demerits are, which one is appropriate, which are not. But altogether, they do not solve the problem. If it is a true dilemma, they will allow you to collect enough information that you can have to work with, but all of them together still do not solve the dilemma.
Now, a couple other characters that we can combine in that basic set of eight that we can mix and match would be logic and feeling with controlled or channeled and uncontrolled. And when we mix those up, you end up with a character who is basing his outlook of the moral problem on logic, but he is very fuzzy about it. He's moving in all kinds of different directions with his logic. He is not working towards a specific end. And so his logic is diffused and therefore largely ineffective towards advancing things. On the other hand, you would have the character then of feeling, who would be combined with controlled or channeled. And in terms of that character, he will be able to apply his humanity, his feelings, his emotions about the problem very specifically towards its nature, information gathering about it, its existence, and whether or not a solution can be found. So those two characters, again, can have their characteristics flipped, and that is certainly okay within the structural system we have. Now, when we look at the entire story again, we have 64 elements. And if we've taken these 16 elements and made them into characters and say that these are going to be the fixed attitudes, then the next aspect we have in stories that everyone is familiar with is essentially the plot, which consists of the processes of the action and the decision process. And these are represented as another set of 16 out of the 64 elements of the frozen mindset.
This is backing up just a hair before we go on to the 16 elements of plot. When we are looking at the 16 elements of the of characters or the moral problem, moral consideration, that is, as we were talking earlier, that is one set of 16, and we actually do have another set of 16 of exactly the same things, but those represent the physical universe, or the interactions in the physical universe, the physical problem. And what frequently can happen is not only, as was mentioned earlier, can you have a character who is in pursuit and non-consideration as far as the problem goes, they do not have to be the pursuing the physical problem. They can be any one of the other, or they can float. When you mix and match between the levels of the mental level, in other words, the level considering or not considering the mental problem, and the level, the floating level, which is considering or not considering the physical problem, you can get even more interesting pairs. For instance, if you have a logical character who is very channeled in the thought, but you match that up with the physical approach to the physical problem as being frenzied or uncontrolled, even though you align the mental, you know, make a very simple character as far as the mental problem goes, you can align it with the characteristics that are seem to be in direct opposition when they are considering the other problem, the physical problem. By doing so, it makes for a very interesting character, because when presented with situations or considerations of the mental problem, they will be very logical, they'll be very calm, controlled, and channeled. But when presented with the physical problem, they could become very uncontrolled, frenzied, and base all of their motivations on feeling. You can do an awful lot of mixing and matching when you're playing with this to create very interesting characters, and still that's not even really fleshing them out to become, you know, like true human beings.
Okay. All right. I'll run this by Chris here. I'm not sure if this is actually the case or not, but it occurred to me that perhaps in the most simple of all films that we refer to generally as work films, perhaps that is where you have the fixed physical set being the same elements as the fixed mental set.
I would think
that's
right.
Okay, when you have a pursuing character who's pursuing the mental solution, he's also pursuing the physical solution. You'll see this in a lot of Irwin Allen TV pictures. Anyway, where you have a very simple work film where there, whenever a character is representing one of these characteristics and taking a step in a certain direction, it moves him exactly the same direction, just as far, in both the mental and the physical world. And that's why it's a work film, is because there is no leap of faith required. Essentially, all these characteristics just represent the mental attitudes that one has and the physical approaches, and they're perfectly matched up, and you just go through one problem after another, apply your characteristic that you represent to it, and at the end, the problem is either solved or it's not. But there isn't a dilemma, because a dilemma would be a differential between how one is approaching the physical problem and how one is approaching the mental problem.
Right.
Okay. All right, now moving on to our next quad of elements, which would be the plot line. And eight of the elements will be representing the decision process, and eight of the elements will be representing the action process. Now, again, remember, when we're talking about action here, we're talking about action in terms of mindset. Now, that may be a difficult concept to look at in terms of saying, how can you have action in the mind? But it is really the motive force being generated by the mind that will lead to things happening or not happening in the physical universe. It is not the actual manipulation of the physical universe, but the signal going out of the mind saying, I am going to act or I'm not going to act. That intent is determined by pursuing or avoiding in that area. But that is only an intent. It is not the signal being triggered to the muscles saying, let's do it, guys. So essentially, when you have an attitude that you are trying to pursue, and then you finally reach the point where you say, not only do I wish to pursue, not only am I going to pursue, but I will actually act, it makes that pursuit an immediate thing. It doesn't make the pursuit an intention or a direction. It makes it an application. Okay, so in looking at the mindset, when you've selected your character set of those characteristics, that's kind of a blending, because the primary character will have some of those characteristics in them, as well as the other supporting characters will have some of those characteristics in them. But by the time you get over to the action set, in terms of to the plot set, in terms of the frozen mindset, those 16 elements, very frequently you will only see them really represented in terms of the primary character, in terms of the mindset. If the mindset is frozen, as soon as you get away from the character set of 16 elements and get into the plot set, you may only see the primary characters fleshing out of how that is involved, because now we are no longer just dealing so much with the internal motivations of the mind, but we're beginning to deal with the applications of that mind, and they no longer become as important for the other characters to be related, because we can see what their decisions about acting were by how they respond in the physical set. But for the primary character, all of these should be explored. Now again, in terms of the mindset, the primary character will only be one of each of these characteristics out of each of these quads of four elements, as we call them. So if we have a set that is the plot set of 16 elements, we group them into four sets of four. Each one of these sets of four is a quad, and the primary character in the mindset will only have one characteristic out of each quad that he will lock into and stay there for the entire duration of the story until the point of decision. Anything you want to go into? Okay, so a character in that sense would be one who maybe would always be in terms of an action quad, which would be a choice of not acting at all, a choice of initiating action, a choice of acting only to bring things back to the status quo, or a choice of acting in response to something else that has happened. One might be considered proaction, would be where the primary character would lock, and then his trigger would be that whenever his mind reached a certain point, he would take a first strike, basically. He would have his mental attitude, and whatever his mental attitude was on the nature of the inequity, on the nature of the dilemma, he would then take action, proaction, to go and change things. And that would be his response all the way through in his mindset. Now, the nature of the action he takes, again, if we look at the physical set, he might take proaction to preserve. He might take proaction to react, or proaction not to act. It's an interesting combination and important to note the difference. It simply says that in terms of inaction, in the physical set, inaction is what he does. In terms of the mindset, proaction would be that he would initiate inaction in the physical set. Okay, so we would go through all of these, and I don't think it is as crucial for us to explore those at this time in terms of just the mindset, but suffice it to say that the primary character, who is usually frequently seen as the typical protagonist, will have a complete set of 64 elements to choose from, and will end up picking one out of each quad of four, which will leave him with 16 characteristics that he would embody in his mindset. The other characters represented in the character set may or may not be represented in any of those quads at all, because the primary character is defined for us as the character who carries within them the overall nature of the mental problem that we're dealing with in this mindset. All the other characters merely exemplify elements of it.
The next portion of the overall mindset, the next set of 16 that we want to go over, is the goal set. The goal set is the set that's basically represented by the author. It establishes what the author's intent is, the author's point of view, etc. The goal set is completely fixed from beginning to end. There is nothing about it that should change. Effectively, what that means is that the author has an idea. The author has an intent. The author can set up, using these 16 variables, 16 elements, set up the reality or the actuality of this world within this story. And that is what all of the rest of the pieces play against. Eventually, the correctness or incorrectness, the success or failure of the primary character is measured against however the author has set up the goal elements in no particular order, but I will read them in terms in groups of four or in quads. I will read the 16 elements that make up the goal set. There is knowledge, thought, ability, and desire, order, chaos, inertia, and change, reality, perception, equity, and inequity, and awareness, self-awareness, non-anticipation, and anticipation. These are the measuring sticks by which the characters and the audience and the author measure success and failure. The mechanism of setting them up works very similarly to that of the plot quad, the plot set. For instance, if you have a character whose primary character begins in reality, then they can either end in reality, in which case that means they have not made any progress, or they have made a circular progress, or they can change and end in perception. Vice versa works just as well. If they start in perception, they can end in reality. The order of events determines what the author says is good or bad. If I have a character that begins in reality, or if there is a character that begins in reality, and after going through the exploration of the moral dilemma, makes the choice and ends up in perception and is successful, then the author is saying that it is a good thing to go from a view of the world based on reality to a view of the world based on perception in these circumstances. An example of that would be Brazil, where the primary character lives in a rather horrific world, ends up being tortured, and rather than remaining in reality, in which case the character would most likely die, the character goes off into a fantasy world and lives happily ever after. That is not the reality. That is the character's perception. But as such, he is very content, and therefore he succeeds at the end of the story. Any one of those 16 elements, or any one of the 8 pairs of elements, can be used. In fact, all of them can be used. But typically, you, like anything else, you emphasize one set as the primary, and then can have secondary and tertiary and etc., etc., in terms of importance. Period. That's it for me.
All right. Okay, let's look over at the last quad of 16, which would essentially be, in one respect, it's our storytelling quad, it's our exposition quad, and it's really where the audience lives. If the author lives in goal, as having a fixed, established measuring stick, then the audience lives in a very floating set. And what we have determined is that the author's set will be fixed, meaning it's fixed in the mindset and it's fixed in the physical set. They do not move. That is a place where they lock in. They must lock in, because otherwise the author does not have a consistent point of view. One quad has to be locked down that way. But there is also going to be a quad that is going to be floating and floating. Essentially, one in which there is no particular order of going through things or a particular home for the characters that is consistent either in the mindset or the physical.
A note to make is that as an author who creates the story, for his story, and within his story he is God. That is why he may establish, in fact, he must establish what is actuality, what is real, what is not real. That does not change within the context of the story. That is why both levels of the mindset and the physical set are fixed. However, when talking about the storytelling quad or the audience quad, when the story is being related to the audience, they become God, because not only can they look at the characters going through the process of the story, but they can also look at the author, and they can evaluate the story as well as the author. And that is why it is completely floating, because that cannot be fixed in any way ahead of time, because it is not, one cannot predict precisely the audience that is going to be experiencing the story.
Yes, so essentially the audience may or may not agree with the morality of the author, and then they'll look at the story, and if they disagree with the author's morality, they'll deduct that from the potentials the author has created in the story before they determine whether the story itself has validity or not for them. And that's why they're a floating set, floating in terms of the author's intent and floating in terms of the information they're getting that he has created. By being floating, these terms of floating sets does not mean forever. It just means that there are four elements in a quad, and of these four elements in a quad, they will be gone through in order, 1, 2, 3, 4. There are many ways to establish an order and some rules about how that can be done, but there's quite a variety of the directions in which one might go through those four elements in each of those quads. Yes. No, as long as the red light.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, so essentially by the time you get to the fourth act, everything will be fixed, because at that point you have gone through all four of the white elements in a quad of elements, and you will end up having a final locked-in position. Essentially, that's what the author does in telling the story, is saying that here is where we end up after all this. When we explore this mental problem, when we explore this physical problem, when they've created a dilemma because they're incompatible, and we reach a moment of having to choose to change one or the other, or fail to change and live with that dilemma, it is under these circumstances after exploring this particular situation. So the floating nature moves through act by act until you fix at a final point. That's why there are only 16 elements in the set of the primary character, is because he will, in the mindset, hold those 16 elements and then have to shift to another 16 without going through the other two sets of 16 along the way. The potential within him is building up as he is fixated in the mindset, until after having explored the physical set, by moving through this set of 16 to that set of 16 to the next set of 16 to the last set of 16, then he has arrived in kind of a comparable position in the floating set, or in this left-minded film we're discussing, in the physical set, and that tells him where he ought to be to solve the problem in terms of the mindset. And that, then, he must make that leap of faith from going from one set of 16 to another set of 16, essentially, and changing where his mind is at. When we look at the exposition quad of 16, or the audience quad, then, both elements, sets of elements, are moving. The set of 16 in mind, and the identical set in physical. And that has a lot of ramifications. One of them is information. In the telling of the story, the reason we call it the storytelling or exposition scene, can go to the audience that can go to the audience that is not exactly what it turns out to be, because it's completely floating. One of the quads in the exposition set, it contains proven, unproven, accurate, and non-accurate. Those four elements can be applied to the information that the author is doling.